This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
It is BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome to Open for Business. I'm Rich Bradbury. This is the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And this morning on the show, I'm speaking with Manaka. He is the founder of Lean Partner. They're a boutique consulting firm that specializes in agile operational transformational management, providing consultations in operational excellence, as well as offering training and certification services. Now, they were founded back in 2013, and Lean Partner has executed more than 2,800 projects, delivering more than $100 million of total value with a client portfolio of over 200 organizations. Now, this includes the likes of Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and government-linked corporations across multiple countries in both the ASEAN and European regions that achieve a minimum of 10x ROI. In today's discussion, Manaka will share his 24 years of experience in the industry, emphasizing on Lean Partner's commitment to driving growth and digitalization across various industries and how their unique approach to consultancy sets them apart in a competitive field. And if you have any thoughts or questions, get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number on 018-789-8899 or reach out to us on X. We're at BFM Radio. Manaka, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to know it's your first time on radio. Not a little bit nervous?
I am a bit nervous.
Of all the things that you've done, though, and all the people that you've spoken with and consulted with, I think radio is the kind of least of your concerns right now. I think this is something that you'll take to like a duck to water, so to speak. Now, tell me how you came up with the idea to start Lean Partner, because your career has been somewhat interesting. You've done a few things first before you started the business, but where did the idea come from?
I will say it in two words, which is passion and expertise. Mm-hmm. To just rewind back my life a bit on a career, I started as an engineer and I was in the manufacturing environment. My first job itself is actually I have involvement in quality and process improvements. Mm-hmm. So that actually gave me some sort of interest towards understanding this more. And I have opportunities also to explore into this methodology called Lean and Six Sigma at that point of time. And that bring me over, cross over to another industry on a service industry, which is the banking. I was almost 9 years in the banking doing business transformation. It's a full-time job, mm-hmm. right? And to add on, so I have also opportunity to work in oil and gas, supporting different countries like Poland, Glasgow, Chennai, Manila, and Malaysia. So doing all this process improvement and transformation works. Mm-hmm. So with all this practitioner, as a practitioner's skill set and knowledge that I had, is drive me to go out and do something my own. This is where it started up. Mm. The first point that I actually, the cross of mind about setting up this Lean Partner at age of, it's still born in the age of 35. And that point of time, I told myself, you know, in 10 years down the road, I want to go out and do something my own. But with God's grace, with the universe blessing, I started out at the age of 39 itself, right? So the reason I came out is also to see how can I give a big impact to the organization, in a multiple organization, in other words, compared to I just working in one particular organization, mm-hmm. With my skill set and my passion about continuously improving. Mm. And what I also understand from this, my knowledge in the corporate world is also there's a lot of need of tailor-made towards this program, other than we just have a standard methodology or standard program. Mm. Because company to company, or even go to function, department to department is very, not only from the process perspective, it's also the people, the culture, the way they do things and stuff like that. That's where the whole idea of starting up this boutique consulting is actually started.
Right. So the idea is you've been in various industries. You've seen how, in your mind, things could be improved and how, if you had the opportunity, you would suggest certain ways in which they could improve because you have the knowledge to do so. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Right. Yeah. Now, What was it and how did you... There must have been like some initial problem that you looked at and you thought, okay, well, with my knowledge now and 4 years later, as you mentioned, I can actually start solving some of these problems. Was there one particular thing that you thought, okay, well, now that I know that that exists and that issue that exists, I can now start up my business? Was there one particular case or was it just multiple things?
No, it was all focused towards process.
Right.
And, what I found out in my knowledge or experience is basically a lot of problems are due to the process. So it can be due to not standardized process or a process are not well defined or people don't follow through the process or as simple as SOP, standing operating procedures not in place in the details. So everything revolving back to the process. So when we don't have a good process in place or good governance towards the process, and then we start seeing every single problem that organization facing, right? Including, you know, behavior problems, attitude problems, which is a very commonly people focus towards people. In my agenda, people is always the last contributor to the problem. So first thing is look into it is whether the process is robust enough for everybody to do it or not. Those are the things we just started up. You know, I think organization need to understand this. Of course, initially I started out with a transfer knowledge where the training also my main portfolio that I was focusing on. How can we transfer our knowledge to more wider group of people to understand where they should focus the energy to solve the problem other than shooting in the air?
Mm. Now, earlier on, you referenced Six Sigma. Now, some people at home will be familiar with it and other people might not be so familiar with it. Can you just give us a brief as to what it is and kind of in layman's terms explain it to people listening at home?
Sure. So there is a two component here. One is Lean, one is Six Sigma. Lean, of course, it was also adapted from Toyota production system mainly. And to give an analogy to it, is somebody is, let's say, like a 400 kilogram of weight. So this particular person, they cannot run like a normal person or they cannot take a staircase like a normal person, eat normal person. Everything will be slowed down.
Mm.
So the lean the body, so basically we need to remove the fat from the body, right? So it's the same analogy we apply in the process now. When you say lean the process means we have to remove all the fat from the process. So in other words, we are removing all the non-value-added activities in the process and make the process to be more lean, right? So in one line, lean is all about reduction of waste in the process. So when you reduce the waste in the process, what happens now is basically your strength will be efficiency. So lean is always tech to efficiency. So if you are using lean methodology, all the lean tools to improve your process, basically the outcome you're looking at is basically to get into efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
The other hand, Six Sigma, it was started by Motorola, by Bill Schmidt back in 1986. And the focus on Six Sigma is the reduction of variation in the process. Right. So the wider variation means, you know, your process inconsistence.
Right.
So how do you reduce the variation in the process? Right. So when you reduce the variation in the process becomes more consistent. So it will lead to a strand of effectiveness. Right. So Lean Six Sigma is very focused on improving efficiency and effectiveness.
Right.
So every single process across industry are looking at these two components. How do I improve efficiency? How do I improve effectiveness? And it is a good marriage in a way that because you can't improve efficiency without looking at effectiveness.
Yeah.
You can't improve effectiveness without looking at efficiency.
Yeah.
It's a great marriage. And this consequences of doing this is basically will lead to a customer experience, lead to a cost savings, uplifting our revenues and stuff like that will take place.
So I'd assume the second part of it, the Six Sigma, would be continuous measurement of results to kind of get to where you need to be. Would that be about accurate?
Yes and no. What I mean by that is basically definitely Lean and Six Sigma are married together in a way that, but Six Sigma can stand alone by itself as well, right?
I see.
So if an organization facing too much of quality issues, more suitable tool to look into the Six Sigma, right?
Mm.
If organization looking at more of a turnaround time problems, you know, the cycle time problems, productivity problems, Lean will be better tools to use it. So it's a case to case to understand what kind of a problem that we want to solve. So we will use the right tools and techniques into it.
Okay. How do you kind of identify the right market for you to fit your product into? How much market research did you do before you launched your company?
Because what my belief system before I start my company is this: wherever there's a process, this methodology works.
Right.
Right? So the normal sharing that I always do with any participants is basically, you know, tell me where we don't have process. Right? Do we have a process at home? Answers yes, right? We don't have SOP, but we have a process at home, right? Cooking is a process, washing is a process, getting ready to work is a process, right? So you're stuck in the traffic, it's a process as well, right? If I minus 8 hours of sleeping, if you're lucky, get 8 hours, you know, the 16 hours we are in the process.
Yeah.
So it is applicable everywhere that you are in the process.
Yeah.
So I don't have any intention of focusing on one particular industry. I thought every industry is opportunity for me, right? But nevertheless, I make a concrete decision to more focus towards service industry. With a simple reasons, that point of time, there is a less player in service industry.
Right.
So a lot of this Lean Six Sigma background persons are very much born from manufacturing.
Okay.
Because I've been in both industry almost equal years, I have the exposure to a service as well. So I thought of, okay, let's focus on the service industry a bit more. That's why my portfolio, almost 80% today, is very much on the service industry.
Okay, we'll talk about your portfolio a little bit after the break. Folks, you are listening to Open for Business, of course. This is the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm here in the studio with Manaka. He is the founder of Lean Partner, a boutique consulting firm that specializes in agile operation, transformational management, providing consultations in operational excellence, as well as training and certifications. This, of course, is Open for Business. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. This is the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's me, Rich Bradbury, here in the studio with Manaka. He is the founder of Lean Partner. They're a boutique consulting firm that specializes in agile operation, transformational management. They provide consultations in operational excellence, as well as training and certifications. He's not run away yet. He's still here with us in the studio. Now, Manaka, I've just kind of given a brief introduction as to some of the products and services that you offer. Can you talk to me a little bit more and go into depth about some of the services that you offer now?
Sure. Like what I said earlier, you know, we started as a knowledge transfer. So we got all the series of product related to operation excellence.
Yeah.
The first series is basically on the Lean Six Sigma series. We have all from the yellow belt, green belt, black belt, and also master black belt. So all the certification program, we do the certification for the participants who are completing these programs. We are collaborating with a council of US as well as in the UK and a few other bodies to order to ensure that the credential of the particular certification is taking place, right? So beside that, we also have a customer experience series of programs. Today is a customer experience is one of the core elements for service industry, especially. With the simple reasons, public or the customers have a lot of options. If you take a banking, for example, even commercial banks alone, we have 28 banks. And if you put Islamic together, we got 54 banks. So basically, customers have so much options. When the experience is bad, they just switch. Right. Same goes to healthcare. Same goes to insurance and so on. So customer experience has become a core element under the operation excellence as well. So we are actually have a series of programs on customer experience, customize it design program on customer experience. We do have programs on operation excellence from foundation all the way to masters in operation excellence. It also become a very important qualification or skill set for operation teams. Because today, based on my experience and looking around multiple organizations, there's no dedicated program for operation people. So we send them for multiple programs, either a soft skill or people management and stuff like that, right? But how do we run operations? From the components of managing the performance, managing the volume, you know, do we see on a daily volume or do I see hourly volumes? You know, how do we calculate your capacities and stuff like that, right? So we have a good principles of operation excellence. We developed it, like, you know, we have like 75 principles to transfer to people to say how you can actually get your operations people with upskilling. So we have deployed this in multiple organizations today. So we do have that set of a program as well. We also do quite a number of programs for leadership on a change management from operation excellence perspective. Creating the awareness to the leaderships, you know, up to the CEO levels. We have done a multiple program for this group of people as well. And today, we are also getting quite high demand for people are going into digitalization and automations. We are actually supporting them designing the whole process and optimizing the process or identifying which process are ready to go for automations. So we are supporting that component as well. So all this, we can actually do it as a knowledge transfer, as a training, or we can also go to the ground and do it for you. Right. So we are on both elements and consultations as well as training. Right.
Now, one of the things that I've observed in my 15, 16, 17 years here in Malaysia is that often the lower people in the service industry tend to not really want to be there. You know, these are people, you know, you might go into a store, for example, and ask where something is, and they're like, I don't know, it's over there somewhere. And it becomes a frustration for us as a consumer, as a customer. How do you kind of transfer the training that you're talking about now to somebody in management to then pass it down to their subordinates? Because that kind of service industry, it's a revolving door of people. So how do you ensure that the training that you give them is stickable?
Okay. I just want to highlight two components here. The first component is always, you're rightfully said, you know, in terms of culturally can be different. Because I personally have worked with five different culture countries, you know. So I'm able to compare how Malaysia culture versus other countries and so on, right? So I understand where you're coming from. So the first thing that I will be focus a lot in the program is actually what is for them. How do you create value for them, right? They must feel that self-realization in a way that, oh, this is important for me, right? This is going to make difference for me. This is what I needed, right? So 9 out of the 10 will be able to understand and they're able to like grab it from that perspective. Second perspective is actually today's environment. Is comfort zone is safe? That's a question I throw back to them, right? Because we just need one announcement, you might be lost everything. And the change is so rapid today that, you know, you need to be upskilling yourself. So today environment is pretty much is, I used to tell that, you know, experience get expired.
Yeah.
Knowledge never get expired, but your experience get expired, yeah. Right? For example, I used to ask questions like, you know, how many of you used pager before, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, some of them may be like, you know, what's pager?
What's right? A pager?
Yeah. Right. So yeah. There can be Gen Y or Gen Z might be asking those questions, right? So I used that when I was an engineer back then, you know, in the pager. Right? So I have experience on it, but today it's not in a, in
it's
a heavy use
anymore,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm talking about something 20 years ago. But what you know last year, this year might not be applicable. What you know last month, this month might not be applicable. So if you're not updating yourself, you are basically going into outdated yourself, right?
Yeah.
So this is all the message I give them in to understand why it's important to uplift them and understand the skill set. That's the second one. I just want to add one more. The third one is basically, we emphasize a lot on a complex problem-solving skill set on this program, right? And also the data analytical part of it. So complex problem-solving is something that everybody needed. It doesn't matter whether you are CEO of the company or you are just a worker in the company. Everybody needs this particular skill set for solving different type of problems, right? So can complex problem solving replace by robots and bots and stuff like that? Answer is yes for repeated problem. When you have a unique problem, we still have humans to come in and try to fix the problems, right?
Yeah.
Because even if you want to use artificial intelligence, you still need machine learning to collect the data and understand it before artificial intelligence kick in, right?
Yeah.
So this skill set is really needed by cross everybody in the organization. Because if you hire somebody, you're looking at the person actually solve the problem or done the work efficiently, effectively. Somebody can do that more efficiently, effectively. That's where their growth is take place. So giving this multiple input for their self-realization of why it is important to adapt it, this particular skill set, that's actually giving us the winning point of it.
Mm. Just before we take a quick break for the news, I mean, that's one set of problems that we've identified. What do you think moving forward is a challenge maybe to your industry? And you briefly mentioned AI there. Do you think that can be some kind of challenger to the industry that you're in right now?
Oh, I will say yes, because, you know, just a couple of months back, I was sitting and just thinking myself, what I'm giving answers to the clients, AI can do. So what is my role going to be?
Yeah.
Right? So either I'm on top of the AI, I should be the person who pressing the button for the AI. Right? So we have to look into, of course, the digital disruption is taking place significantly. All right? So we have to look into the whole process, how we blind and emerging with the technologies coming up now, and how we can also give our solutions based on that, right? Mm. So even just recently, I'm setting up a workshop for a management team for reviewing the dashboard and KPI. So when I see the exercise developed in my team, then I was questioning them, if this exercise answer can give by ChatGPT, why they need to come to the class and do this exercise, right? Mm. Mm. So how can we make it a bit more stronger and more robust that it can go beyond what chat can give you the answers, right? Mm. Because I encourage people to use ChatGPT, by the way, right? So in the class they use, I'll say, please use it. The technology is available, you should be adapting it and not like, you know, or don't use it and stuff like that. Now you need to be smarter than that, right? Mm. Mm. So answers yes to you. And I also have a feeling that in a down the road, maybe 5 years down, 10 years down the road, or maybe earlier, classroom training might be getting smaller and smaller because people are moving from macro learning to micro learning, right? People like talking about, just give me 2 minutes video, I just watch it and I learn myself. I don't want to be in the class for 10 days, for example, right? So we are adapting all this. We are looking at this as well, monitoring this technology movement and how Lean Partner can adapt some of this technology to give a better solution, more significant solution to the clients.
Perfect. Okay, we need to take a short break, folks. Of course, we've got the news coming up here on Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury, and this is the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. Now, this morning on the show, I'm speaking with Manaka. He is the founder of Lean Partner. They're a boutique consulting firm that specializes in agile operation transformational management, providing consultations in operational excellence, as well as training and certifications. Founded back in 2013, they've executed more than 2,800 projects, delivering more than $100 million worth of total value with a client portfolio of over 200 organizations. Manaka, I know I said I was going to talk to you a little bit about money, which we'll get to in just a moment. Can you briefly talk to us about some of the clients that you've already dealt with, some of the portfolio that you deal with without... I mean, it's okay to give us some names, right?
No, I think it should be fine if we were to name some of them. But maybe I'll just put it in industry-based. That will be also useful for the listeners, I guess. So like what I say earlier, no, it is a cross-industry methodology that we can actually apply.
Yeah.
So, of course, I started up a financial institute on the banking industry.
Yeah.
Right. So today, we are supporting easily 9 top names of the banks in Malaysia. Right. So where we are actually started up in training and now we are moving into consultations. Some of the areas we are actually been engaged for transformation of their whole process, including looking at the organization charts, looking at their KPI dashboards, and also the process and so on. So holistically, we are looking at the entire process for the banking industry. So we also into insurance. Insurance today are pretty much, we are very focused on customer experience components first. Where will we impact your process anyway, right? For example, how fast you can have a claim, for example, right? So those kind of things. We are also venturing into heavily into healthcare today, right? So this year's one of the main focus area will be healthcare. We are expanding our portfolio in healthcare. Just with simple reasons, because, you know, in banking and insurance, a lot of technologies are coming into it, up to AI are into the banking ready now. Also the digital bank and stuff like this coming up. So bank getting slowly, getting smaller and smaller in terms of the process usage. So we are diverting into a different industry as well. Healthcare is one of it. We're looking at quite a number of projects on as simple as admission process, discharge process. You know, as simple, doctor might say you're 10 o'clock, you discharge, and you might be still sitting on the bed until 3 o'clock.
Oh, my word, yes.
Yeah. So we are looking at the whole process and see how we can simplify it and what are the things we can look into it to help the customer's journey and customer experience in the get better on these areas.
I'm guessing healthcare must be a very difficult industry to lean, so to speak. You know, it's like you just mentioned, even when you book an appointment for maybe 1 o'clock, you know, and you turn up at 11:45 or 12:45, expecting to be seen at 1 o'clock, you're waiting until 2, sometimes 3. And it's not necessarily the doctor's fault. There's a whole bunch of things that have to happen before they can come and see you, right?
So one thing that we are talking to the hospital now is basically, it is not about just the waiting frustration the patients are going through, but they are in unknown situations,
yes,
right? So if I can give you info, right, I'm saying that, you know, doctor will be coming in 1 hour, doctor is actually stuck in an operation theater, or any information that I can pass it to you, maybe I can reduce your stress and tensions,
yes,
you know, that, you know, at least some information is coming.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Same goes to people are discharged, you know, they're just sitting in the dark, right? They don't know what's going on, why it's taking so long, right? So is it because of pharmacy? Is it because of the doctors not signing up? Is it because the insurance claims not coming in? Is it because of the billing? You know, at least we have to inform the patients where we are. Like as simple as like a DHL, right?
Yeah.
So you know where your parcel is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if we can actually get that done, maybe we can reduce these particular things, because the nature of a service industry heavy with variations. The reasons can be anything that, you know, actually causing the delay of the process that they are actually looking at it. Just to add on other portfolio, we're working in retail, we are working with airlines, you know, manufacturings. Also heavily, we're looking at shared service centers. We are dealing with multiple shared service centers today. We are looking at logistic companies. Logistics are coming up as well because of, you know, the e-commerce and stuff like that is heavy into it. We are looking at the e-commerce as well. So basically across all industries that, you know, are looking at operation excellence. And operation excellence, we're talking about efficiency and effectiveness. Everybody's looking at it, right? So those are some of the hungry companies that we are actually engaging with.
You kind of literally listed all of my headaches going through that. Logistics is something that bothers me an awful lot. Healthcare is something that bothers me an awful lot. You know, I think me and you should just sit down there in the pantry and I'll give you a list and then off you go.
All right.
Okay. But
real voice of customer.
Yeah, exactly. But joking aside, okay, you're obviously passionate about this. I mean, you've written one book already, another one I believe is ready to be released fairly soon. But at the end of the day, you do run a business, you know, and this is something that I want to dive into just a little bit before I let you go. Is running and operating a business is complicated and difficult sometimes. What's your kind of revenue like right now? How is that settling with you right now? I mean, obviously you deal with a lot of clients and a lot of people coming through your door, so I'm guessing it's fairly healthy.
I will say over the period of 10 years that we completed, that is only two years we went into lost. 8 years we are in profitable. Mm-hmm. Even if the profit, what happened is basically it is a very self-funded organization.
Right. So you bootstrapped it, did you?
Yeah, bootstrapped.
Okay.
Right. So we dumped personal money into it and start the business. I started a loan. Then eventually when we had some profit, we started hire one person, and today I have a 10 team with 50% of them called as senior people, diverse industries experience and expertise they have holding it to bring the lean partner to the next level. Right. So to order to grow this and keep our self-funded in a way of moving out over the period of 10 years, it is very much sustaining it and building the brand. Mm-hmm. My focus was actually to bring the lean partner into a specialization on these particular areas, to bring into the market saying that, you know, there is a company called Lean Partner who are doing this, right? And at any point of time, people think about Operation Excellence, this logo or this particular brand should click in their mind for option for consideration, at
right.
least.
Yeah.
So that was the goal of the whole journey of the last 10 years. This year, 2024, we are taking uplift. we are going a bit aggressive. There's another reason I'm sitting here. Right?
I was going to say that's why you're sat here, right?
Yeah. So you don't see me in the last 10 years. I'm suddenly sitting here because, you know, we have huge credibility. We have a lot of success stories. Mm. We have given a company almost the max we have given is up to 60 times of the investment. We are very confident to give ROI 10 times to the organization back. If you have an upper end to choose the project, we can actually guarantee to give 10 times of return of investment. Mm-hmm. So we have all these case studies and success stories with us. This year is all about branding, pushing up, uplifted. Mm. Right? So to answer your questions about revenues, we are not like, you know, there yet, but we are still driving towards that.
Now, with any business comes problems and issues as you're growing, as you're expanding, as you're looking for funding or whatever it is. Can you just highlight perhaps for me a couple of examples where you've taken a misstep, where you haven't exactly, you've not necessarily hit the mark that you thought you were going to do, or something has gone slightly wrong, and how did you fix it?
Okay, there is a few investment that went wrong. I was trying to invest something on the technology or systems. I might be get excited what I want to do, but you know, I might fail of doing a proper research and understanding usage or demand of the customer.
That happens when you get excited.
Yeah. So then I have to scrap the whole project, and there's some good money was invested on those kind of elements actually, right? Mm. So today, the biggest challenge I face today is basically is also the skill set, resource to get the right skill set to handle some of the projects that we want to do. Right. So this is basically the one of the challenge I'm looking at it. In this process, I also have experience of hiring some people. Then I have to let go of the people because mismatch of the skill set and stuff like that. So today, to answer your question, how do I fix it? You know, they need to go more deeper into understanding every single investment we are putting in. Mm. And also every hiring that we are putting in, we need to be a lot of question to ask ourselves, you know, is this the right candidate? Or we are taking a slightly different approach on contract-based and we make it then permanent later and stuff like that. Mm. So some changes has taken place to order to ensure that we are getting the right people for the team.
Mm. HR seems to be an issue for a lot of startups and for a lot of companies, even if they've been around 10 years, 15 years. It's that constant issue, right? How do you solve something like that? How do you ensure that you don't have a mismatch of skills?
All right. It's a very subjective, you know, because, you know, in an interview, they might be saying they can do everything, right?
So you have to sell yourself.
Yeah. So even I go to interview, I'll say I can do everything, right? Until you hit the roads, they won't even know whether I can deliver or not. So this is some gambling will take place on these particular elements. But I think the core area here is actually having the right mindset and right attitudes. I think that's what I always want to look for, because knowledge can be transferred. But are they willing to go extra mile? Are they willing to learn it out, you know, and so on, right? Because I have also difficulty to get a freelance all cases, because sometimes we don't get exactly what we want to deliver to the customer, right? Because, you know, we have certain principle that, you know, I don't compromise anything on the quality. That is like, you know, even I need to pay extra 10 ringgit, I will make sure I will pay the extra 10 ringgit to meet the quality, right? So if I have a skill set of people who are not aligned with me, that's the biggest challenge. Mm. Because company is building based on certain brand, based on the quality of deliverables we are doing. It's all about results.
Yeah.
If the team is not able to deliver what we are expecting, this is the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, last question before I let you go then. You kind of briefly alluded to it that you want people to, you know, when you're hearing about transformational excellence, you want Lean Partner to be that name that people think of and remember. Other than that, what do you think for you is the kind of ambitions for Lean Partner? Just to kind of take us up to the top of the hour. Is that the only thing that you have in mind, or are you looking at expanding perhaps into other markets? Are you looking at potentially an exit for your company and leaving it where it is when it's reached that kind of height?
All right, excellent. So one of the things that we Lean Partner really want to establish is to be the leading authorities in Lean Six Sigma in this region, right? We really want to get this metrology across. So we want to be the authority for this particular metrology. That's definitely, it is the something we are looking at it. And we also already started expanding ourselves globally, right? So we have a program coming up in Singapore. We are doing in Australia, Indonesia, and stuff like that. We have done in US. We have done in Belgium. And we've done in Spain. So our footprint is actually, we are slowly expanding it. As a business, one man might not be able to be there in a short period of time. So we also start exploring partnership with global players to see how we can expand our footprint further, right? So that is something is going on as well as per today. Talking about exit scenario, it is not something I have given much thought to it at this point of time, because my focus is building Lean Partner into a sustainable and impactful enterprise. So there's no thought of, you know, I need to move out and stuff like that. But I just don't know future, right?
And it's your baby, right? This is your baby.
So in the future, if there is any big organizations that try to collaborate with us, or if there's any acquisition of the companies taking place, I might be considering it to see at that point of time if they align with our visions and missions of the companies. We will talk about it at that point of time.
Okay, great. Manika, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Folks, I've been here in the studio with Manika. Of course, he is the CEO and founder of Lean Partner. They're a boutique consulting firm that specializes in agile operation transformational management. If you want any more information, you can head over to their website. It is leanpg.com. And if you miss any part of this conversation, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally listen to it from. Recommend you download it and listen to it via the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM
89.9. You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.